It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go, off and running for this fourth day of May, 2020. This is the Horn. Headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tube. And you're mighty welcome to wander on by and jump in the chat room, become part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time and 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. If you do so, well, you will be welcomed, met, and greeted by the likes of Anatole and House of Roberts and Roger and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has in fact folded space today to become Man Cave, because it must be just beautiful out there in Northern California. It is, strangely enough, and I haven't said this very often so far in 2020, absolutely beautiful here. There is no doubt about it that today has been the most beautiful day of 2020 thus far here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Cold Trump Genius Stand. It's a close one between Saturday and today. But I think today just has, it's just been a little, you know, just a skosh nicer. And then tomorrow the heavens open up, we get thunderstorms, and we're back to normal, I guess. Hi, I'm Bob, and we've got a whole new broadcast week ahead of us, the first full broadcast week of May 2020. Congratulations going out. Today is the 35th anniversary for our pal Squeaky in the chat room, one of those early arrivers who will gladly greet you should you pick out a screen name and a password, et cetera, et cetera. Happy anniversary to Squeaky on he and his wonderful spouse's 35th wedding anniversary. Squeaky says, my wife's off to pick up Chinese takeout. You could do far worse. And, oh, I got to tell you, I was so happy yesterday. I didn't realize it, but my dear friend who runs the Thai restaurant not far from here has been cooking on a limited basis. You know, you order in, she cooks. And so yesterday, we got some takeout from her. Holy mackerel. She made, my pal Ging, she made kimchi beef soup. Wow. Wow. I mean, spicy and tangy and tart and delicious with beautiful hunks of tender beef and kimchi in a magnificent spicy broth. Oh, my goodness gracious, it was fantastic. And so we enjoyed that immensely, and there was some Penang curry pork and pad thai and fried rice and yummy. And the lady with the food truck tried her strawberry ice cream over the weekend. The chocolate's fantastic, although she tells me now she makes a vegan chocolate ice cream that's even chocolatier I can scarcely imagine. Yeah, we're off in food. It's Moran Monday. Don't worry. Our appetites are going to be shot to hell in a very short period of time. But for now, let's just revel in it, because it was pure magic. Oh, yes, it was. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, because it is only you who keep the horn on the air. And instead of our usual $200 fundraising goal today, it's only $134. Why, you ask? Might it only be $134? Well, that's because of our pal Joy in Ann Arbor, sending along $35, because today marks 35 years with my boy genius. I made the minister substitute till death do us part with for all time, so my poor darling is stuck now, in for a penny, in for a pound. We'd planned to go hiking in the woods up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan to celebrate, but God said, ha! Happy to report that love and luck grow exponentially as the years keep rolling by. And by the way, Joy adds, my favorite new term for Trumpers is Glengarry leads. Glengarry leads. Very obscure, adore the movie, but damn it, it fits. They're ripe for the plucking as long as their hate is coddled. The Glengarry leads. I'd seen her use that a couple of times on social media, and I got it pretty quick. It's a really fancy and obscure way of saying rubes or marks or dummies, but Glengarry leads, based on Glengarry Glen Ross. Mm-hmm. If you've never seen the movie, you should. If you haven't lately, might be a good time to review. Thank you very kindly to Joy for getting us started, and congratulations on 35 years with the boy genius, and many, many happy returns. So the day has a nice little celebratory vibe to it, and that's good, because we need some good vibes to balance out the oh my God moranity of it all, because it's on the way. Oh, it's so on the way. Yeah. We got $164 to finish fundraising for today. And there are other thanks to send out, of course, as well, for our early part of the month subscribers. Thank you all so very kindly. And that would be thanks to Paul. Thank you, Paul. Thank you to Catherine. Thank you to Thomas. Wait a minute. I need to, hold on. I'm recalculating. $114. Thank you to Waltrud. Thank you, Waltrud. Thank you very kindly. That takes us, only $114 to finish the evening. Thank you to Janice. Thank you to Ann and Jean across the pond. Thank you to John. Thank you to Stephen. Thank you to Elizabeth and Rocco. Thank you, one and all, for being partial sponsors of the program. That is how we keep all of this going from one month to the next. And you know, never, not once, are you plagued with any ads to ask you to buy some crap you don't need. No buy gold now. No vacuum cleaners dropping bowling balls on mattresses made of foam developed by NASA. No. No buildings made of steel. No floors made of deforested Southeast Asian hardwoods. Just a determined group perpetuating a conversation that has been going on for over 16 years. Thank you all so very much. If you want to help out, run over to headon.live. The PayPal interface is right there on the main page. If you want to be a Patreon subscriber, click on contribute. That link is there. And God knows we need to, we can use the subscribers. So, or a la carte, or however it is you prefer to go forward on all of this. Thank you so much indeed. What's that, Brother Deacon Asa? Glengarry leads. No need for fancy names, Brother Bob. Let's all remember Nigerian scammers called their marks MAGA long before Trump ever became a presidential candidate. So true. So true. MAGA, burble, burble, MAGA, MAGA. Yeah, apparently, Randy and PA says, may the farce and your drainable movie-going dollars be with you. Yeah. And says, by the way, does anyone else think that Mark Hamill's a terrible actor? I'm not going to go that far, but he does seem to be a damn decent human being, so that takes a lot of sting. But yeah, they announced that there's going to be a new Star Wars movie, and it's going to be directed by the guy who did Jojo Rabbit. So is this going to finally be the great Hitler in Space movie that we've been waiting for all these years? That was teased at the end of Mel Brooks' Spaceballs? Or is that Hitler on Ice? Well, anyway. Go figure. I can't bring myself to even watch the final Star Wars movie that was supposed to be the final Star Wars movie. Agnes and I were toying with the idea the other night, and I said, last Star Wars movie? She said, nope, still pissed off about the one before it. Nope. Gonna nope right out of that one. So we didn't. What we did watch was the initial episode of Upload, which had some highly entertaining comedic moments. It comes from some former Saturday Night Live writer alums who had a hand in the Americanization of The Office. And it has to do with what happens to one's consciousness after death, if one is wealthy enough to be able to afford it. And I don't want to spoil anything for anybody, but there are some delightfully funny scenes, and particularly... And look, some comedy just has to be simple. It's not complex and urbane, witty word. And the fart jokes work really, really well, at least in the original initial episode of Upload. Including one bit... that uses as background music's music Walter. Oh hell, what was his name? A Fifth of Beethoven, the discoed up version of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. It's funny, really funny. Oh, look, we've been frontiered. Isn't that just lovely? Going to be one of those kind of days, isn't it? I guess. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Appreciate it. Thank you, Billable Rick. Appreciate it. Well, anyway, that's an unpaid product placement, but in a time when we need all the entertainment we can get, The Upload over at Amazon Prime is very funny indeed. Thank you, Jack. Hopefully we're back now. Jack in Shreveport letting me know about the frontiering. Lee noticed. Thank you all kindly. I hope it's not going to be one of those kind of evenings, but there's every possibility it may be. And Billable Rick says, you've been frontiered again. Hi, Scotty. Because there is some wind blowing outside. And as we all know, wind, gentle spring rains, thunder, any of that can cause Frontier, the terrified chihuahua of internet service providers, to run under the bed and hide. Yeah. Thank you, Ralphs. We're still back. Yay. Hallelujah. Good. Well, you know what today is? And it's, I gotta say, it is thoroughly today. So let's just let's jump into things and get the hockey puck. You don't have to put it in yet.
Stop telling us when we do or don't have to put in the hockey puck, Bob.
Yeah, I got it.
Stop telling us you got it, Bob. Two.
Just have the hockey puck and the duct tape standing by. It might be one of those kind of Moran Mondays. Yeah.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, 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 step right up, you will not believe your ears. Here, just mere steps off the Carnival Midway. We've got it for you, the Moran Monday tent. Behind this thin, cybernetic veil of canvas resides all the moranity your heart could ever yearn for and for which your brain could never desire to be exposed to. Yes, just moments, mere moments ago, you were standing there on the Carnival Midway, tossing ping-pong balls, goldfish bowls, in the vain hope of taking home little baby iguana. But now, you've come to your senses, and you've wandered over here to the thin cybernetic veil of canvas behind which resides all manner of birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, birchers, booger-eaters, libertarians, maggots, trumpanzees, Glengarry Leeds. Happy anniversary, happy anniversary. Every other kind of Republican garbage that one could possibly conceive. And they're all waiting right here for you because you can't tell the morons without a program, and this is the program that tells the morons. You just can't tell them much. Yes, yes, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, moms and dads, kiddies and cousins, friends and neighbors, for little more than not quite 15, 14 cents per hour of programming, a $10 a month subscriber make certain that the Moran Monday tent will be set up in your town when the next Moran Monday rolls around. Yes, indeed. The standard disclaimers arise. Keep a close eye and hand on watches, jewelry of the rings, bracelets, necklaces, anklets, toe rings, various piercing implements. Keep an eye on all of those things and a hand on all those things. Keep your purses and your handbags and your backpacks nearby, as well as European-style messenger bags, even pets, even that little baby iguana that you won throwing ping-pong balls at goldfish bowls. Keep them all close at hand because the morons can get grabby. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in morons. And it's true. Oh, Jesus, it's true. It's going to be very busy this evening because it's been a long weekend. I mean, it's just an ordinary weekend, but, well, the stupid seems to be of a particular virulence. There's an important word. A particular virulence. As we get further into spring.
Hey, Bob, stop telling us. How can we tell you to stop telling us when you preemptively deny us the opportunity?
Thank you, Lee. It's becoming a bit of a challenge, isn't it? Yes. Yes, as Anatole notes in the chat room, the stupid has no bounds. No, it truly doesn't. And so, where to begin? Because there are so many potential places to begin. Let's see. How about... No, we're not going to Michigan yet. We could always go to Baston. Sorry, Massachusetts contingent of the Horn Family Community Congregation. y'all got your crazies too. Maggots violated the stay-at-home order of Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker on Saturday. They gathered at the state capitol in Boston, and they rubbed around and smollocked and LARPed on each other and burbled and gurgled protests against Republican Governor Charlie Baker and Boston Mayor Marty Walsh. The Boston Globe caught it all. And they heard the Massachusetts maggots yelling things like, "This is communism! We don't want you shut down anymore!" This is my terrible New England accent, by the way. "It's not a pandemic!" I mean, they had speakers, people coming up to the microphone and rallying the crowd. "The reason why they're doing this, to turn the United States of America into the United Socialist States of America!" At which the ingathered gang of hard cases, dead enders, and ne'er do wells began chanting, "It's a hoax! It's a hoax!" It's a hoax! It's a hoax! It's time to make America great again, which must have just tickled nitwit Nero pink. And, I mean, there were a lot of people there, hundreds. Probably not a mask to be seen. And, of course, this is all AstroTurf, a bullshit organization. And then there was the scene outside one particular state capitol. You can, if you'd like to help out, you're more than welcome to, because... I'm sorry, I got to find this here. There it is. Now, what I was saying, if you'd like to help, yeah, you're more than welcome to. I tried to watch the video and see if I could see, like, a state seal or a name or something. But a group of really angry white people, incensed white people, infuriated white people, tried to surge into a thin blue line of police at a government building over the weekend. Among other things, they were carrying a sign that said, "Vaccines known to cause seizures, encephalitis. It's in the Constitution, right next to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." It's fucking toxic idiots. I'm gonna run the audio, and then I'm gonna ask a question. All right? It's not very long. Now, we're talking about a guy screaming, "It's bullshit! It's bullshit!" right in the face of a member of the law enforcement. And women getting up and screaming and spraying their viral particles all over the faces of, in this case, public servants who are trying to do the damn job that they took an oath to do. I mean, I'm so old I can remember when the maggots were running around screaming, "Blue Lives Matter! Blue Lives Matter!" Anytime somebody said, "Black Lives Matter. Blue Lives Matter!" But now they're spraying their viral particles at these self-same police officers and potentially getting them sick and eventually killing them. So, blue lives matter until they don't. But we're not done yet. Oh, and they brought Merkin flags because they love Merka. And then they dragged them around on the ground because feed them. And there's another sign in the distance that says, stop tyranny. Like a stop sign. Oh, they're very clever. Oh, there's even a dude with a mullet. Oh, okay, we do know it's California because there's a sign that says open CA now. Not a mask, not a pair of gloves, nothing. Okay, one journalist has a mask on. Now, just a couple of questions. What color are all the protesters? Now, this is a radio show, so there's no cheating. Nobody can look. Nobody can see. But what color are all the protesters? Well, we're going to use our powers of deductive reasoning to sort that out. All the protesters are white. How do we know? Because no one's getting gunned down by police. If a group of indigenous Americans had done anything remotely like this at Standing Rock, it would have been Wounded Knee all over again. Wounded Knee 3. If this had been a group of African Americans, there would have been arrests as far as the eye could see, and probably several dead. But this is what white privilege looks like and sounds like, since it's radio. Potentially infected people, gone zombie, shrieking in the faces of law enforcement officers who don't have any PPE whatsoever. And mercifully, none of them got shot. And then there's let's do a quick interlude with Flavio. I'm puzzled, says Flavio. Last night around 8 p.m., I went to the Festival Foods grocery store to get some 10 to 15 things. I figured at that time there wouldn't be that many people there, and there weren't. I noticed there were no baskets and was told the baskets were taken away to limit the number of people in the store and that I should use a grocery cart. I typically come armed with a small list, zip through the store, and leave. I use a basket. I seldom use a grocery cart because I never fill more than a bag or two, and I don't drive. I walk or ride the bus, so no car to take a cart full of groceries to. It didn't make sense at the time. I thought maybe you could explain it to me. I'm confused. Also, the People's Food Co-op doesn't want you to bring your own bag to the store so as not to spread the Rona. I fail to see how my clean green canvas bag can spread anything, but I was glad they would not go back to using plastic. They said they'd be handing out brown paper bags, the sturdy ones with handles. Okay, the grocery cart thing. I've actually seen this in action. Heck, the grocery stores here now have directional arrows on the floor. Not that the hillbillies are paying them any attention. And I'm not trying to be an asshole or anything, but a couple of them did you notice which way the arrow's pointing? That arrow is not decorative. It's not pointing you to the nearest sale price item. That's the direction they would like you to travel in so that you and I don't do what we just now did, and that was come face to face with each other and breathe at each other. Maybe we'll figure it out. Based on the number of masks and gloves I'm seeing, probably not.
No. No. But, for instance, over to the Rural King in Beckley, which is an essential business because that's where you can go to get your dog food and your food, your Purina pig chow for your pet Vietnamese pot-bellied pig, and they got some groceries. And no, they've got important stuff in there. For people who in a rural place like this are tending farm animals, it's indispensable. And their rules say that you must have a buggy with you at all times, and that if you are seen in the store without a buggy, you will be asked to leave. Because the size of the buggy guarantees, if everybody else is following all the other rules, it guarantees that you will have social distancing. Whereas two people with baskets slung over their arms can just be right up on top of each other, smollicking and larping like maggots at an AstroTurf rally in Boston on Saturday. So that's why the shopping cart rule. And it does seem to make some sense. So that's my understanding of the shopping cart rule. Anything that comes from what they're trying to do Flavio, I'm sure you do a past master job of cleaning and disinfecting your reusable grocery bags. But unfortunately, we cannot measure society, and we cannot make our presumptions about behaviors in society based upon the strongest links in the chain. These determinations have to be made based upon the weakest links in the chain. You know, the maggots. And the maggots, being disease-bearing monstrosities, they probably got whole buckets of Rona sitting at home that they just keep their reusable grocery bags soaking in, he said, adding something parenthetically to the end of after in so as not to end the sentence with a preposition. You, Flavio, meticulously cleanse your reusable grocery bags. Everyone else in lovely, lovely La Crosse doesn't necessarily. And so they've got recyclable, perhaps even compostable, plain old brown paper grocery bags that they can feel fairly confident does not carry any Rona particles on them. And so therein lies the answer to your question. I hope that helps. And thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Kevin, very kindly for jumping in with fundraising this evening. We are now down below $100. Down to $89. That's huge. Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. Jack in Shreveport says, officers have no PPE, no protesters shot because white. Conversely, no officers wearing PPE and presumably no riot equipment because protesters white, I believe. You think police would have some of that equipment on if there were hordes, as in the clip of the political candidate with the rifle declaring he would be ready for the hordes from Atlanta that were not lily white? Okay, I think you're probably right, Jack. I don't know what's going on over at FYINation.com. They may be having problems of their own. They pick up the stream from either HeadOn.live or White Rose and run with it there. I don't know. I'm still sending to White Rose, Randy, so Maybe it's a, maybe a reboot is in order, or a you know, recycle or whatever. Flavio says, thank you. I thought they just wanted me to buy more stuff with a grocery cart. No, no, no. No, there's an actual physical rationale behind it. And maybe somehow or another it helps to keep you a little bit safer. New chant for the maggot economy opening demonstrators, this from Billable Rick, which he saw with his very own eyeballs. Here's the favorite fantasy sign I saw at the maggot protest in Huntington Beach last Friday, in which 2,500 to 3,000 Trumpanzees faced off with mounted police officers. Liberate California. Open our beaches. It's in the Constitution. I want to get Marona now. Marona. Oh, wait a minute. Myrona? Marona? Marona. Dear God. It all makes so much sense now. Marona. And here we are on Marona. Marona Day. I understand. Sweet Jesus, I understand. Massachusetts cops, Stephen, New York, says, oh, but these are George Soros-funded cops, duh. Oh, no, these are California cops. They're in the, right. California protesters, Lee in New York, says, are they from Orange County? Oh, great goddess of irony. How did you know to name the most Trump-supporting county in California is Orange? I know. Stop telling us which end of the sentence to place our prepositions, Bob. It just gets a little more complex with every one, doesn't it? Well, but the carts do serve to limit the number of people in the store because they're limiting the number of people in the store. I mean, it serves a dual purpose. Flavio says they should have said the carts help maintain social distance and not that they wanted to limit the number of people in the store with the carts. One man's nightshirt's another man's pajamas. And I guess we've lost the White Rose Society stream. My apologies for that. Not a blessed thing I can do about it. But anyway, just to keep the Moran ball rolling, because, of course, we have to go to Ohio, California, Massachusetts. Yeah, Ohio. Because, of course, where a member of that state's legislature, a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, Republican, amosexual, fundamentalist. I don't know if he's an evangelical. State representing Nino Vitale. He's been having a conniption about Governor Mike DeWine's stay-at-home orders from day one. And over at the Ohio Capital Journal, a reporter for that publication by the name of Tyler Buchanan just happened to notice a rant that representing Nino Vitale published on the Facebook. because in Ohio, under DeWine's orders, they have a requirement for mask wearing when out in public. Well, Nino Vitale is having nothing of it. This is the greatest nation on earth, founded on Judeo-Christian principles. One of those principles is that we are all created in the image and likeness of God. That image is seen the most by our face. I will not wear a mask.
And then he called for other like-minded disease-bearing vermin to do the same as he,
and to enter into open defiance of the recommendations of Ohio Director of Health Amy Acton. Now, the maggots have been having a shit hemorrhage about Amy Acton for weeks because she mentioned the fact that, well, the Rona is deadly and that social distancing helps to flatten the curve. And that by closing non-essential businesses and everybody staying home, there is a greater chance of not having quite so many Ohioans get all dead and stuff. Well, the maggots don't like that. We want to spread the Rona. It's in the Constitution, right there next to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We're north of 68,000 dead people now. A number celebrated, I guess if you, yeah, celebrated by Clorox Claudius, the death yam. Hi, Carol. Saying that...
Well, it's not as big a number as what we were told it was going to be.
Well, that's because a few people actually paid attention to the rules, you fucking moron. But Amy Acton has been doing her best to provide solid science-based health data for Ohioans. Naturally. That is why, over the weekend, maggots gathered outside the home of Dr. Amy Acton there in central Ohio. Dr. Acton's neighbors were justifiably worried when the maggots showed up. Some of them came on their great big loud burbling motorcycles with their Merkin flags. At least they managed to leave their fucking swastikas and Confederate flags at home. And they gathered on the sidewalk outside Dr. Acton's home and carried their maggot signs. Dr. Amy Acton, hairstylists are essential, read one such sign. A couple of the maggots at least managed to figure out how to wear a mask. Another one had a pre-printed sign from an AstroTurf organization that said, "Let Feedum work." I'm still waiting for them to show up with their urine-colored T-shirts with a snake on it that's made out of a respirator hose or a ventilator hose that says, "Don't resuscitate me!" Yeah, but here's the worst part of it. Among the people who were protesting outside Amy Acton's home, people reported that there were men... Of course, it's always men
walking up and down the street, openly brandishing semi-automatic assault rifles. Not a, you know, not a four-round capacity bolt-action deer hunting rifle or anything like that. Brandishing AR-15 type assault rifles with the capacity to hold 30, 40, 50, 100 rounds, who knows what, depending on the size of the magazine. And that was the part that sort of astonished me. Because I know here in West Virginia, which curiously is just east of and across the Ohio River from Ohio. And by the way, interesting legal point, the entirety of the Ohio River is the West Virginia side of the river. Doesn't begin in the middle of the river. Nope. How about that? But we've got a law in this state that is commonly referred to as brandishing. And that is, if one is carrying a firearm openly and notoriously, what is often referred to as open carry, one is pretty well okay in this state as long as the firearm is either holstered or, in the case of a long gun, shouldered. Hell, it can even be loaded. As long as it is not presented for immediate potential use. Now, do I think that in my state we actually need people to be able to strap iron just because they're too chicken shit to go to Wally World for a loaf of bread and a jug of milk without packing heat? No, I don't. But if you're going to do it, you should probably have some common sense parameters to it. And because firearms are so inherently dangerous, and because accidents with firearms can lead to such horrible, horrible outcomes, generally speaking, the law takes a dim view of anybody who walks around. I mean, it's called open carry, but that doesn't mean you walk around with your pistol in your hand. It also doesn't mean you carry your AR-15 at, I don't know. I never had to learn the manual of arms. What is it, port arms? You don't do that. Because that rises to the level of brandishing. And brandishing is a crime, punishable by jail. It's a misdemeanor. Because there is a social policy, a recognition of a societal need that says having somebody out there wandering around with a gun ready to go, unholstered or unshouldered, that mayhem is likely, all too likely, to follow from conduct like that. And so, generally speaking, brandishing is criminal and decidedly frowned upon. Now let's consider what happened outside Dr. Acton's home in Ohio. The men, because it's always men, and almost always white men, who are toting around
their assault rifles could have been charged, one thinks, with brandishing. Steve in New York, would you mind serving as the as a component of the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department and see if you can find the Ohio Code section for brandishing? Or maybe you could just check and see if I've even got one. Because law enforcement should have been called on these asshats. They should have been arrested. They should have had their firearms seized. And they should have been charged, put under bond, if not jailed, and made to stand to account. Unless, of course, Ohio has some bizarre version of brandishing that says it's only brandishing if you point it at somebody. Which would be a really stupid way to go about having a brandishing statute. But, you know, they're maggots. And they're special. And the rules don't apply to maggots, I guess. By the way, Lee in New York's observation about Orange County had some resonance with Jack in Shreveport. OMFG, Orange freaking County. When thinking about my previous email, I did wonder that the police might be saner since the thing was happening in California. But when you mentioned somebody brought up Orange County, wow, the connections are popping. Was it in fact Orange County? I missed that. I don't know that for a fact, Jack. Didn't mean to do that. But it kind of seems natural that it would be. I mean, I guess it could have been San Diego County. Because we've got a story out of San Diego County. Because, of course, shoppers at the Vons in Santee in San Diego County were shocked to see that a dude, middle-aged, male, white, was going shopping. I wish I was kidding. He went shopping at the Vons in Santee, and it's worth noting, according to the San Diego Tribune leader, no, San Diego Union Tribune, the San Diego battle cry of freedom and volcano of moral justice, whatever. No, the San Diego Union Tribune reported today that a man went shopping in Vons in Santee, which has a long history of racial intolerance to the point that some of the nicknames for Santee in San Diego County are Clantee and Santucky. That stings. He appears to be a relatively largish fellow. He's wearing black cargo shorts, the least flattering of all forms of short pants for men, and he's wearing a mossy oak looking camo t-shirt because, well, in San Diego County, you never know when you're going to just have to sort of disappear into the brushy Appalachian background. And he's got his stuff in his grocery cart. And he's kind of being leisurely. He's got one foot propped up on the cart.
It looks like some sort of, you know, typical, you know, casual walking shoes type things, you know, white crew socks. A good bit of him. But, and he's in the produce aisle there at Vons in Santee, California. And, wait for it, he's wearing a Klan hood. No, really, the two little cutouts for the eyes, the pointy hat, the part that hangs all the way down over the face, he's wearing a Klan hood for social distancing. Now, curious, and this is just an aside, but curiously, in that Vons in San Diego County, California. I don't know why I wanted to say, Santee, South Carolina, because there's one of those, too. There's a guy in the background wearing an Oklahoma University T-shirt, you know, the scarlet or crimson or whatever, with the OU logo of Oklahoma University. But this guy's right up close. He's got himself a bottle of oil, you know, cooking oil, and it looks like he's got him some vegetables of some sort. Looks like maybe some leeks. Maybe a package of chicken. And a Klan hood. Klan hood. Did I mention he was wearing a Klan hood? Now, Scott, if this was your idea of a practical joke, stop it. I know Scott would never do something like that. But Klan hood. Mm-hmm. You betcha. Yeah. Note coming in from Flavio. Santee, large, middle-aged man. Flavio says, my, you're kind. With that protruding abdomen, he probably hasn't seen his feet or his wee-wee since the 1970s. I try not to think about maggot wee-wees, Flavio, but the rest of the Horn Family Community Congregation can take that up with you for planting that in their minds here with only minutes to go of the dinner hour in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone and dinner almost on the table in the Central Daylight Time Zone. Y'all, that one's on Flavio. But, yeah, dude's large and in charge. Well, he wasn't really in charge. Because people kept saying, dude, that's disgusting. Take that off. Fuck you. I don't know that he told anybody fuck you, but he wouldn't take it off until eventually, when he was standing in the checkout line, well, Melissa Hill, a spokeswoman for Vons, Albertsons, and Pavilion stores in Southern California, said that a supervisor found the man once he was in the checkout line and asked him again to take off the hood or leave. Found him. Because, I don't know, maybe in the Vons in Santee, California, you have to pick out which grocery shopper in the Klan hood. No, he found him. And at that point in time, the man removed the hood and went ahead and went through the line, purchased his shit, and left. This, of course, outraged the mayor. A man by the name of John Minto, and he said, San Diego is hashtag no place for hate. Oh, I'm sorry, that was Tammy Gillies, the regional director of the Anti-Defamation League in the San Diego area. Minto was pissed off. And no, his friends do not call him the Fresh Maker. That's M-E-N-T-O. This is M-I-N-T-O. damn, that's a big town. It's almost 60,000 people live in Santucky, California, or Klantee, California. Because they were awash in skinhead activity and racist activity.
over the years, and they've tried to clean it up. Mayor Minto said, many thanks to all who stepped forward to curtail this sad reminder of intolerance. Santee, its leaders, and I will not tolerate such behavior. County Supervisor Diane Jacobs, she represents Santee and other East San Diego County communities. Ms. Jacobs said, the images I've seen are abhorrent. This blatant racism has no place in Santee or any part of San Diego County. It is not who we are. It's not what we stand for and can't be tolerated. And here we go again with the it's not who we are bullshit. When someone does it, it's who you are, unless you figure out a way to exile the fucker from your county. I mean, it just is. The spokeswoman for Vons, Melissa Hill, said,
at Vons, fostering an environment of courtesy, dignity, and respect is one of our highest priorities, and we work hard to hold everyone in our stores to these standards, including customers. This was a disturbing incident for our associates and customers, and we are reviewing them with our team as to how to best handle such inappropriate situations in the future.
Here's a notion, and I'm just, brainstorming here. How about if you see a guy in a Klan hood in your Vons grocery store, a member of the staff comes up and says, sir, that is a symbol of hate, and it is not welcome in this store, and since you have chosen to wear it into the store and have persisted in wearing it in the store, I will have to ask you to leave right now. Not take your mask off and go through the line and pay for your shit and leave. Leave now. Take your mask with you. See if you can find a grocery store that welcomes Klansmen, okay? Because dirty fucking Klansmen are not welcome in our grocery store. Todd in South Carolina stand says, Sons of Santee Anarchy, they already have a show. Of course, there could, my suggestion may not be a very good one. Because that was, that's a guy with a Klan hood. On the other hand, a security guard in Flint, Michigan has left the planet. Calvin Munnerlin, whose nickname was Super Duper, took a job as a security guard at Family Dollar in Flint. And over the weekend, a woman tried to enter the Family Dollar store. And he, following the public health guidelines announced and put in place by Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, in an attempt to keep even the stupid Michiganders from getting all dead, required the wearing of masks in public places. Again, not because the masks protect the wearer. They do not. We need to be abundantly clear about this. Wearing a mask does not protect the wearer of the mask. It protects one's fellow citizens by reducing the potential amount of viral particles that the wearer can eject into the air around him or herself. So when you wear a mask, you are announcing openly and notoriously to the world that you insist upon being a member of a responsive, functioning
responsible society, and that you respect the other members of your community with whom you may come into contact. When others do not wear the mask, they are announcing openly and notoriously to the world that they don't give a fuck about anyone but themselves, or at the very least, that they are too stupid to understand rules of common social decency. Forty-three-year-old Calvin Munnerlin, father to 8 children, stepped up and did his job at Family Dollar in Flint, Michigan. He told a woman that she would not be allowed into the store without a mask. She raged and carried on and shrieked at him. And then she got into an SUV and drove away. Twenty minutes later, she returned. Or I should say, 20 minutes later, two men returned. Two men with weapons. One man screamed at 43-year-old Calvin Munnerlin about having disrespected his wife. And while the other man took out his freedom protector and blew the brains of Calvin Munnerlin right out of his head. They still have not caught the murderers. Munnerlin's cousin, Tina James, told CNN affiliate WJRT, "This is senseless over a mask. Over a mask? This is not the way to do things right now. We need to come together." Some people have no interest in doing anything like that. Come together. So in essence, the manager who did finally catch up with the exalted Cyclops there in the Vons in San Diego was taking his life in his hands. Although California has somewhat saner firearms laws than does, say, the state of Michigan, where it's completely legal. To carry assault weapons into the state capitol. And it's not the only place you can do it. You can do it in Kentucky, too. You can do it in Oregon. You can do it in a lot of state capitals. But once upon a time, a group of members of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense gathered with their firearms on the steps of the California Capitol in Sacramento, which immediately caused old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, to have a plum hissy, and they shut that shit right down. And they still haven't caught the killers in Michigan. Law enforcement are trying to find them. So far, no luck. please, Jesus, no press releases saying this is not who we are. Michigan State Police are investigating reports coming in from social media posts. And they drove away. And are at large. And who knows who they'll shoot next. If somebody asks Mrs. whatever her name is to be a responsible member of society and wear a mask while she's out in public. Nobody could have saved Calvin Munnerlyn, because you can't outdraw that kind of behavior. By God, the National Ruble Association was so proud of the firearms rights that it secured when Michigan was gripped in the tender mercies of a Republican majority in the governor's office and the legislature. So proud. So proud. Few emails. Keith, going back to the maggot in Vons, pointy hat for a pointy head. Yep. A little cowbell for that. Thank you, Keith. Albert in Rhode Island. Bob, I'd like to see a mass arrest at one of those stupid protests. Plus, have the protesters been put in jail for at least a week? Have the protesters be put in jail for at least a week? Maybe it'd make these morons rethink about protesting. Well, that's one of the more interesting aspects of this civil disobedience. If you were, say, young John Lewis, crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge in April of 1965, you fully expected the cops to wade in and beat hell out of you, maybe even kill you. Because, and even if they didn't, to likely be arrested and have charges lodged against you, perhaps jailed, be convicted, have a monumental fine to have to pay. Because civil disobedience includes the idea of disobedience to the law. And the people who engaged in civil disobedience for the sake of rights secured by the Constitution did so knowing full well that the consequences would be meted out remorselessly. But the maggots out there hollering, "It's in the Constitution," are not willing to sacrifice. They merely want the rest of us to give in to them and let them spread their disease hither, thither, and yon across the fruited plain. It's sickening. And so, you know, would it have bothered anybody if there'd been fire hoses turned on these godforsaken scofflaws? Because see, they're not civil rights protesters. They're just scofflaws who are aggrieved that some tiny degree of their privilege has been somehow compromised.
used.
This is the anniversary of Kent State. 50 years since the Ohio National Guard opened up on innocent, nonviolent protesters and innocent bystanders. But of course, the maggots, well, they're special. Brandishing and whatnot, says Jack in Shreveport. So, might right-wingers be considering every instance where some law is not enforced? Let's say there were actual legal infractions occurring in the Ohio instance you mentioned. Be an actual experimental data point to take into account where they can count on police might be ripe for taking even further illegal actions with no pushback? The right wing runs these experiments with ALEC legislation, for example, all the time. Yes, you're absolutely right, Jack. They've got to be noting lax enforcement, especially in astroturfed protests. The lack of tough enforcement is going to make things worse in the long run. When will sane government start looking at experimenting with some pushback? I think sane government is afraid. Because there's a concern here as to what would happen if an order to go in and arrest a lot of them was issued, and then because the law enforcement agencies are infiltrated, the order was refused. In that moment, civil governance goes to shit. Yes, says Flavio, Governor Whitmer should make a deal with those fine people. Sure. Guns and white privilege, you say, asks Ron and Raleigh. Imagine, if you will, a group of men of slightly swarthier hue doing this. And a link to an event, an incident in North Carolina. Raleigh police say armed right-wing protesters weren't protesters, no arrests made. A small group of armed white men and two white women, adherents of the right-wing ideology Boogaloo, which fetishizes the Second Amendment and overthrowing the government, and a race war, they left out the race war part, marched near the Capitol building Friday afternoon to demand that the state reopen despite the threat of the coronavirus. In North Carolina, it is against the law for, quote, any person participating in a demonstration upon any public place to willfully or intentionally possess or have immediate access to any dangerous weapons. The Raleigh, North Carolina Police Department did absolutely nothing. And so, since one of the disease-bearing vermin who leads Reopen North Carolina, got arrested, well, a group of gun-toting maggots then showed up with their rifles, their assault rifles, brandishing them, and they called themselves Blue Igloo, which is a play on the word boogaloo. And Blue Igloo protester Stephen Wagner, also known as Pat Riot, Patriot, see, said, it's amazing how much friendlier police are to well-armed men than soccer moms and nurses. And Ron is, of course, right. Had those people had darker skin, they would not have done or been allowed to do what they did. Jesus, these people. What's that? I can see you're tripping, says Lady B. You have a law degree. You're a logical guy, and sometimes when things regarding law go sideways, it doesn't make sense. It's bewildering and a bit unsettling to you. It hurts. Welcome to the world of an African American. Yeah. Yeah. Where the law doesn't quite work the way it was designed. Because exceptions. Every rule has an exception. Unfortunately. Hey, thank you, Kurt. Thank you very kindly, Kurt, for jumping in. Let's see. That takes us down to $59 to finish the evening. That's mighty kind of you, Kurt, and much appreciated by all of the community, all of the Horn family, for helping to keep the program on the air and make it possible for anyone to listen who wants to. You know, even the assholes. Let me see here. Randy in PA says, I've got a question. Will a nuclear war with China mess up a Republican woman's coiffure? When the coiffure just flat out falls out due to radiation poisoning, I would have to say yes. What would happen, Steve in New York asks, if governors sought to enforce the stay-at-home order? Can you say David Koresh and the Branch Davidians? Well, that's why when I saw Carol Baker pick it up from somebody else, I thought it particularly apt that some folks are referring to these assholes as Branch Covidians. They're also being referred to as knuckleheads. That's in New Jersey. Where we have no small number of friends of the conversation in the community. I had a lovely photograph from Malin and Kim over the weekend. They had heard me singing the praises. See, we could try to be a commercial operation, but it's just so damned difficult and compromising. But I've been running my mouth about how happy I was to finally be able to get my hands on some Kaneka sausage at the only grocery store in the entire state of West Virginia that now carries it. And because we've talked about so many delicious things over the years on this program, and folks have kind of learned that I don't just say things. Well, Kim sent me along a picture. Alabama Kaneka sausage dinner. Wow, delicious. Got our order yesterday. Came really fast. We made it with peppers, onions, garlic, and tomatoes with some fresh herbs from the garden. Yum. And I wrote back telling them how happy I was that they'd enjoyed it. Kim wrote back and said, when we were enjoying, I said to Malin that they'd be great for breakfast. So delicious. They shipped really fast, too. Can't thank you enough. Food's always been a focus of our lives, and now even more so. Oh, man. Today I smoked and grilled chicken and turkey thighs on cedar shingles like I've made salmon many times. I'm sure it isn't healthy, but damn delicious anyway, with a salad mostly from the garden with my own ramps. Yum. Oh, ramps. Of course, the double Manhattan made it even better. Yes, I bet it did. But they had a lovely weekend there in the hills of New Jersey. And Kaneka now has a new fan. And yeah, I'm sure it was yummy. But I mentioned New Jersey because in New Jersey there's a Republican, because there's always a Republican. But in New Jersey, there's a Republican legislator who is, shall we say, wrought at the governor of New Jersey. The story coming from NewJersey.com, NJ.com. Now, the way this works out is that Governor Phil Murphy of New Jersey has taken to referring to people who do not follow social distancing guidelines and who otherwise shit and spit and otherwise, you know, pour their effluvium onto efforts to keep New Jersey safe or make New Jersey safe, flatten the curve, and cut down on the deaths. So Governor Phil Murphy has referred to people, he said, don't be a knucklehead. And he uses knucklehead rather a lot. Because this past Saturday, for reasons passing understanding, state parks and golf courses reopened in New Jersey. And Governor Phil Murphy tweeted out an 8-second video of one of those electric, you know, traffic displays, and it said, don't be a knucklehead. Well, enter, and I'm not kidding, I'm not making this up, a maggot, a Republican from, I guess, Morris. Is Morris a county in New Jersey? Well, the maggot's name is Joe Pinocchio. Pinocchio. I'm sorry, there's an A there, not an O. And he is aggrieved and butthurt over Governor Murphy's use of the word knucklehead. You know, to describe people who won't wear a mask, won't wear gloves, Waller and Smolik and LARP all over each other, walk around spraying virus particles hither, thither, and yon. Yeah, I'd say that they're lucky that they're only being referred to as knuckleheads and, you know, not verminous assholes. So Joe Pinocchio, maggot, issued a statement.
I strongly condemn the flippant language the governor's used in press conferences on these signs. It is disrespectful to the citizens of New Jersey who have and will continue to make hard sacrifices to stop the spread of the coronavirus and save lives. The sophomoric language is unbecoming of the governor and certainly not fair to the people of New Jersey. Webster defines a knucklehead as a stupid person. Is that what you think of sacrificing New Jersey citizens, really?
Hi, Joe. Bob here. Knucklehead. A knucklehead is a stupid person, Joe. And a stupid person in the middle of a pandemic refuses to wear a mask or gloves. A stupid person, a knucklehead. Well, they do things like ignoring social distancing rules. The people making the hard sacrifices to stop the spread of the coronavirus are not knuckleheads, Joe Pinocchio. They're not you. You're a maggot. You're an idiot. You're probably a vector of the disease. And you are mischaracterizing Governor Murphy's words. Don't be a knucklehead, he says. Don't be a stupid person. The people who are following social distancing guidelines, the people who are observing the laws that are in place, are not knuckleheads. Mostly, Joe, if I can call you Joe, it's people like your constituents who walk around with their urine-colored snake flags and their pre-printed AstroTurf signs that reopen New Jersey. Those are the knuckleheads, Joe. And, well, I don't think you even qualify as a knucklehead. You, sir, because you're being featured on this Monday program, are a moron. Plain and simple. Oh, yeah, says Steve in New York. Coronavirus model projects 134,000 deaths in the U.S., nearly double its last estimate. It's going to keep climbing. Yeah, this would be Morris County. Steve letting me know there's a Morristown, New Jersey, and a Morris County. This would be, I believe, Morris County. Flavio with some breaking news. The murderers from Family Dollar in Flint have been identified. Three people are charged. Two men remain at large, while a woman has been arrested and is awaiting arraignment in the Genesee County Jail. The two male suspects are 44-year-old Larry Edward Teague and 23-year-old Ramonye Bishop, Teague's wife and Bishop's mother, 45-year-old Charmel Teague, has been arrested. They're all facing first-degree premeditated murder charges. That carries life without parole if convicted. Teague and Bishop still have not been caught. There's a $1,000 reward available for information leading to their arrests and probably conviction. Law enforcement saying that they, both suspects should be considered armed and dangerous. God damn, that's sickening. Genesee County Commissioner Bryant Nolden, executive director of the Burson Fieldhouse in Flint, Michigan, said Munnerlin was active and believed in the facility. Of Munnerlin, he said he didn't bother a soul. All he did was provide for his family. At least, it wasn't a mass shooting. But God, people are losing their shit. Jesus. And that's not all. Oh, no. And I'm going to the phones just in a second. Also in Michigan, where people are coming unglued, Dollar Tree in Holly, Michigan, was the scene of a bioterrorism attack. In the Dollar Tree in Holly, Michigan, a woman, about 1:30 p.m. Saturday, a woman asked a man asked a customer to please mask up. And he walked over to her and said, "Here, I'll use this as a mask." And proceeded to wipe his nose on the woman's uniform. Disgusting. Anyone with the information about the incident's been asked to cost the, yada yada. He's all over the security footage, but nobody quite knows who he was. Is. In all the years you've been alive on planet Earth, did you ever imagine that you would see the day come when a runny nose would be wiping a runny nose on a stranger's shirt could be construed as assault with a deadly weapon? Jesus. Billable Rick says, "Knuckleheads, I can find a lot more choice words than knucklehead to describe Joe from New Jersey. Like moron, simpleton, idiot, imbecile, fuckhead." Insert your word for stupid person here. How about bioterrorist? We sure do fling around the T word a lot when it suits right-wingers, white-wingers. Fancy. But once they're the ones doing it, not so much. Yeah, I'm sorry. Tune in is down. We're having some issues. Jeremy in Vermont said, I've been trying to listen live. Could be my phone, possibly with the live stream, but tune in definitely is out. Keeps giving an error on connection. It was fine as of 5:10 p.m., died around 5:30. Yeah, we've been seeing some issues, but well, at least like I said, at least the podcast will, and I guess it blips and buffers and stuff. Brother Deacon Asa is on top of it. A brother deacon would be. I told you it was going to be a busy morning Monday. Oh, and according to McClatchy, David in South Carolina, Stan sent this along. From the Sacramento Bee, FBI seizes four pipe bombs from home of Colorado anti-lockdown protester, feds say. A 53-year-old anti-lockdown protester in Colorado has been arrested on suspicion of having pipe bombs and bomb-making materials at his home. Loveland, Colorado. Allegations against Bradley Bunn. And he's been a big-time participant in the AstroTurf anti-lockdown protests. He's been seen at the protests brandishing firearms. He's been organizing an armed protest against the Colorado lockdown. And the FBI and the ATF took notice of him when he started putting up calls for people to bring their freedom protectors to the protest in order to use the threat of violent force to affect public policy. By the way, in case you're wondering, that's the definition of terrorism. Jesus. All because they can't just run out and LARP all over each other. What kind of pissant babies are these? Well, dangerous ones. That's what kind. So, with about $54 to go to finish fundraising for this Moran Monday, we will go to the phones and check in and see what's going on with Todd. Hey, Todd. Appreciate your patience, man. I just had to get through all the Morans.
You had a lot of good information. Those are some really good stories.
Still got more.
I don't even know what, but wait, I have to just, I don't know, maybe I missed something, but the character from New Jersey, but basically his name is Pinocchio. So why should you believe anything he says? I mean, he has to overcome his name.
Well, it's an A instead of an O, so maybe that changes the meaning, but, yeah, Pinocchio. There were no references to his nose spontaneously growing in the NJ.com article.
All right, that settles it then. Thank God I'm not a stable genius today, and that's all I can say.
Yeah, I've managed to get through this program largely without mentioning him. And he lost his shit over the weekend. I mean, when does he not? He lost his shit this morning. It's gotten to where Joe Scarborough is just punking him every morning. Joe's trying to stoke the stroke.
Uh-huh. So what happened?
He was talking about his poll numbers and how he's losing his shit on Brad Parscale and... And the next thing you know, Comcast NBC needs to open a reinvestigation
of Psycho Joe and what happened to his girlfriend in Florida.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay. I missed that. That was the segment I missed this morning because, you know, Washington Journal.
I was going to say, you went over to play with the maggots, didn't you?
Well, it's really, you know, I'm really right, and I just want to say this piece really quick. I'm, you know, honestly, because it's heavy on my heart. Okay, with the president, we can write him off. He's done. He's too old. He's not going to change. He's mentally ill, and then he has all these other negative personality traits. It's too much, you know. So he's write him off, and it's too bad he's in charge and nobody's doing anything. It's these people that follow him. What are we to do? Now, see, this Michigan stuff, if you really pay attention to, you know, human behavior, you know, it's kind of, anyway, that's just a little taste. That's just a little taste. You see, yeah. We are in trouble. These fuckers are not going to be happy no matter what happens. I mean, what are they so angry? I mean, I understand everybody's angry and upset. But, you know, they're not dealing with a full deck of facts. And I'm not trying to get, I bore you and bore everybody else, but.
No, you're not boring me. I don't recall you ever boring me. So, you know, stop that.
Okay. I feel like I have so many things that, you know, I'm sorry, man. I'm at that age, you know, a certain age. And I'm at this age, and I'm like, wow, well, this, you know, you keep trying to discount things, but no, there's patterns, and this shit is real. You know, we have a certain segment of this population, and it all is connected, just like you talk about the religion. See, you better, and see this, you better, okay, let me slow down and breathe.
There we go. Letting go now, letting go now.
Right. And I'm going
aligning your chakras, yes.
Yes, I feel grounded. Thank you very much.
No, you're welcome.
Okay. Yes. Oh, it smells like patchouli in here. Mm. All right. So,
wait a minute. Hold on. No, wait. Almost smells like patchouli in here. If that doesn't get a cowbell, what the fuck does?
See, you could see something. It brought something up maybe in your mind's eye. We'll see. And we know that smell. All right. So
yeah, you know what it brought up in my mind's eye, and it more importantly in my mind's nose, how every time I get around patchouli, I feel like I'm going to be sick because it's just so intense and so cloying and so overwhelming and suffocating. Yeah.
Exactly. A lot, you know, well... That's why patchouli, and we all have those memories, man. You know, you put that on a light bulb sometimes in your room for some odd reason when you have to. But however, you know, so this is just a taste. These folks, you know, they're not going to be happy. They're not grounded in science. So, and a lot of these people are, you know, it's a whole lot of overlap here. But when you're dealing with folks who just won't accept the same facts, and this is overlaps into the data we're dealing with this virus, because we really don't have any good data. We think the only good data we have are dead bodies, and we know that all you have to do is be around someone in the same airspace for a certain amount of time, you know, and it really raises your risk, you know. And beyond that, and we know that, you know, we know that everybody who has it, there's three people who are going to get it. Minimum. Then, so you had to be conservative. That's minimum. But, okay, I'm sorry. That's not what I wanted to talk about. So I'm going to stop with that. I'm sorry. I just can't help it. I just can't help it.
I'm sorry. I'm still trying to figure out why you would ever have a need to put patchouli oil on a light bulb. But, you know, I'm simple that way.
Oh, well, no. Okay.
That's okay. But no, I want to go to something that Jack in Shreveport said a couple of minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
In regard to the security guard, Calvin Munnerlin in Flint, who was murdered.
Right.
Jack said, So this event should serve as a prime example, or the prime example, of frontline employees or responders deserving hazard pay, if not actual combat pay.
It doesn't get much more clear, does it?
Crystal. Crystal.
You know, right, so we're back, exactly, we're right back, exactly. So what we're dealing with now, I have no answer to it, but unless we really address the only way to get through a problem is to thoroughly address it, dissect it, break down all the elements so that you can chip away at finding a solution. That's what you, even though if you think it's insurmountable, that's what you have to do. That's what we have to do. You know, because I mean, I know it's easy to say we just give up on these people, but that's not going to work. You know, something else is going on. There's something bigger, because you know, we had to think about all the other repercussions. We hadn't heard it. Now our Navy has been a little on the weak side for some time, even running into each other. And you know, only because we don't have that institutional memory that we used to have. Maybe. Well, that's just one reason, maybe. And then, you know, what about the submariners? You know, submarines, man, they are some bad. That keeps everybody safe. Everyone. Because everybody's got the same thing. Submarines are fascinating. They keep our shit together, believe it or not. There's a lot. That's what Navy intelligence is the best. They're fucking big deal. They're a big deal. But
that's why I was talking with our buddy Dan Fisher about submarine movies last week. The Enemy Below.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, The Enemy Below and Run Silent, Run Deep.
I love
in particular.
That. Oh. You know, the more you, I don't know, for me, because, you know, I'm just like that. Imagine that shit. There's so much going on in the submarine. Oh, my God. It's just rich. It's rich with just everything about it is rich. Everything. The whole thing is rich. The history from when it started. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, I'm going to shift gears on you just a little bit.
Go ahead. I'm
because,
sorry.
Because, you know, we've talked at some length about my governor, Jim Justice.
Jim Justice.
Jim is getting a little frustrated because Jim's a billionaire and he's not used to having people talk shit at him. He explains to people that God made him Jim Justice and not Kunta Kinte for a reason, so he could do good in this world. And then people complain, and then people complain, and they show up with their urine-colored snake flags with the ventilator hose in the shape of a snake, and it says, "Don't resuscitate me." Jim's hot, okay? Jim's just hot. This is just a very brief clip. Oh, now hold on! Damn it. We'll get there yet.
Again, I encourage all businesses that are allowed to open to do so only if they can follow the guidelines to keep West Virginia safe.
Got that? You want to hear that again?
Great.
You want to hear that again?
One more.
Just to make sure we got that right?
Again, I encourage all businesses that are allowed to open to do so only if they can follow the guidelines to keep West Virginia safe.
Did you hear what I heard?
He went from English to Martian at a quick clip.
That wasn't Martian. That was Middle English.
Again, I encourage all businesses that are allowed to open to do so only if they fucking follow the guidelines to keep West Virginia safe.
Only if they fucking follow the guidelines to keep West Virginia safe. That's Jim Follow the fucking guidelines, Justice.
Gobbledygook.
Really? The governor of a state?
Again, I encourage all businesses that are allowed to open to do so only if they can follow the guidelines to keep West Virginia safe.
Okay, so what are the guys? I mean, come on, you have to operationally define things. You know, what,
well, I mean, right, but I mean, Joe Pinocchio up in New Jersey had a fit over knuckleheads. What are the maggots going to say now when they've been told by the governor of their own part from their own party to follow the fucking guidelines?
Yeah, well, look, that sounds conservative. I'll be honest with you, Bob. Now, I'm guilty because I go out. I have to get food. I have to forage, you know, and I don't like it. And, you know, I still go in, but we are not. We make sure there's only a certain amount of
now. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. In South Carolina, and you being you, are you foraging or looting?
Now, all right, now.
You remember Katrina?
Wait, the sun is still up.
I got an all right now out of Todd. I'm winning.
So that's just the all right, the funny. Give yourself a cowbell because that was good. We need some music. That was, come on.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was vigorous. I like that. That was all right. That was vigorous. All right. So, but seriously, I mean, man, so you're all over the place, but everyone's all over the place. This whole, you know, everything is in uproar. There's nothing stable right now. We have no stable leadership. We're dealing with a virus that we don't know shit about, except it kills people and you can't be close to anyone. And I had to, this is the last thing I'm going to say about this shit. Cause you know, I've got some things under my belt, but we're not supposed, the only thing we know how to deal with, right? The only way we can deal with this virus right now is human separation. That's the only thing that we know that works. That's solid data. And that's what you have to do. Scientific method dictates that you must deal what is real, what you can replicate, what is, you know, to make it quote unquote true. We understand that. If you're away from other people, you will not get it. Even if you have it, you won't transmit it. So, and that's pretty damn basic, but that's where we are with this shit. It's sad but true. And this is what concerns me about these tests.
Well, before we go to the test, let's talk about the people for a minute, because what
PPSQ? PPSQ, motherfucker?
Yeah, what I just heard you say leads me to think that there's some sort of magical thinking working here, whereby these overgrown babies that keep showing up, and I mean, do they think they're immune? I mean, I'm not being funny. How is it that in the midst of a pandemic, you can waller and smollock and larp all over each other and tossle each other's hair and punch each other in the arm and call each other buddy? And you think nobody's going to get it? I mean, there was a Typhoid Mary in Raleigh, North Carolina, spreading it around.
You read my mind again. I was going to say Typhoid Mary and Typhoid Marvin. That's exactly this. That's where we are. And we have to look at it like that. And we have to remember they're called surgical masks for a reason. Surgical mask. What happens when you're getting surgery? Surgical mask. That means that the doctor, the surgeon, has your fucking body open the fuck up to the air. So you're protecting that patient from your shit. That's the easiest way to explain that. Surgical mask. For you fucking LD motherfuckers. All right, sorry.
I mean, I got a story here. Oh, God. Yeah, I'm going to have to maybe try to find it. I had it right on the...
It's there. It's in the tab.
Oh, here it is. Here it is. Yeah. comes out of Kentucky. Went back to the middle of last month. We talked about this briefly, but we didn't have the details. A former worker at Trayton Oak, which is senior living facility, community, that has been blazed by the Rona.
Right.
She tested positive and refused to quarantine and went out and wandered around in Kroger's and the like and caused everybody to have to be contact traced who came in contact with her. Then the judge ordered her to wear an ankle bracelet and stay the hell home. And she just kept going out. And her mom eventually dropped the dime on her. Because her mom even recognized that she was going to get people sick. In that one particular facility, 23 residents and 12 employees tested positive. Six people are dead. And she was under a court order and just went, no, fuck it. And I'm just trying to figure out how that works.
You know, people don't care. How old was this young lady or person?
Got working age, you know, probably, what, 20s, 30s?
Yeah. You know, I've experienced way too many younger folk, let's say 34, 33, 35 and under, you know, tailing off toward 35, that just don't care anymore. You know, they're like, whatever. Because they're not stupid. They see, you know, the world's fucked up.
Oh, they only think they don't care. Nihilism's easy till the Nile catches up with you.
Well, that may be true, too. Wow. You know, we're in a blender right now. And is it me or is time moving really fast also on top of everything else?
It does feel that way. Very much so.
Well, I have a question. And this is real. This is, before the question about the food. Now, wow. Ken talking about the shingles, those cedar shingles, that adds a nice flavor. Oh, man, that adds a nice flavor.
I was really intrigued. I mean, I've done salmon on the cedar planks before. I've never done chicken. That just sounds really good.
And a few days ago, last week, first time of the season, it's dry here, you know, because you got to catch these dry days before the humidity comes. And it was nice out, no insects. And I grilled a bunch of drumsticks because everybody likes drumsticks. You know, neighbors, everybody likes
that. And I don't find them very often, but I'm in agreement with Brother Deacon Asa. Boneless thighs. Deboned thighs.
I love boneless thighs. But see, everyone doesn't like it. They have it. I don't want to say they hadn't evolved because if you're a foodie, we understand that. But they don't even know that half the shit they think is chicken breast is chopped up boneless thighs, and they don't know it. Because a thigh has a nice, just beautiful meat, wonderful, I hate to use that word now, wonderful, you know, nice meat, white and dark, and just the right amount of fat content. I love thighs. But everyone, you got to please everyone, so. I don't know. Around here, everybody, I totally agree. Yes, Jason. I'm not stepping on you, man. Go ahead.
No, man, I'm right here. I'm listening.
That's all. And So, yeah, you know, and honestly, that jasmine rice is wonderful.
Oh,
make that jasmine rice. Because when you reheat those drumsticks, you know, you have some nice steamed vegetables and rice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like you cook.
Oh, man, what my friend Ging made yesterday, the kimchi beef soup.
Mm-hmm.
Jump back.
See, you know, I think we forget about the medicinal quality of soups and stews. Because usually they have some herbs in there that have been simmering. If you're really interested, if you live on the West Coast, it's easy for you. Or if you live in, you know, on the East Coast, if you're in a city, you can get miso paste and wakame, which is like the seaweed roll, you know, the stuff that's rolled up. You roll up sushi, it's dark part, the seaweed, the kelp. But you can make your own wonderful miso soup. And it's very healthy. It is super healthy. And it has a taste, a flavor that is undescribed. There's nothing like it. It's unique. It is truly unique. And it's easy to acquire all the ingredients, you know, if you're around the right places to do it the right way. And because when you go out, you know, it's great, but it's never enough. And you want to be able to do it at home. And it's easy to grow scallions. I mean, come on. That's like the easiest thing in the world to do is grow an onion. Onion top. I mean, you can do that with garlic, onion, you know. You'd be surprised. And this is a good time for folks to learn about gardening, learn how to grow some food. You know, start a rosemary bush because it's going to take 2 years to get really big where you can, I can cut a chicken in half and put a whole bed of rosemary under it. And let it roast like that, like folks did way back, you know, way back when they put that shit on open fire. But anyway, speaking of food, you know, this is very disappointing. And I don't know if you saw this. Farmers are plowing over.
Oh, yeah.
You know, food. And you see, the federal government, the apparatus can take that over. Especially now that there's emergencies everywhere, you know, state emergencies and this and that. You know, they have the auspices to do something about it, and they can distribute that food. Why is this? You know, why are they so against people eating?
Wouldn't it be nice if we had a responsive government that said, "Hey, we're going to take all that excess. We're just going to distribute it. Government will pay for it."
Well, we have the apparatus. We have National Guard. They can pass it off. You go to the state border, you know, like in South Carolina. Okay, South Carolina, North Carolina. You know, we have a large border. You meet up, pass the food off, get it. Come on, they have databases, And I just want to say this, hand sanitizer, we need that. All right, I'm going to have to say this, Bob. I'm serious. There is a conspiracy. Something's going on that is keeping our country from getting a true snapshot of what is going on with this virus. And I say that because if you really paid attention,
ignorance.
What was going on.
Ignorance. This is not accidental. Dipshit was out there tweeting today about how we're going to have so much testing. Yeah, look, I, who am shitty at ciphering, realize that if we tested a million people a day in this country, we would not test the whole country for a year.
You are taking me right where I need to go.
And the thing is, if you test today, you might have to retest in 4 or 5 months. So we don't need 300 million tests. We need 1.2 billion. You see what I'm saying?
Of course I do. And like I mean,
stupid bastard. You know, if we're testing 5 million a day, that's more than 2 months.
Now, Bob, what I'm about to say, I know what I'm talking about. Okay, I've done this, like, used to get a check to do talk about what I'm talking about right now. And this, in other words, statistical sampling has its place, and this is the perfect time for statistical sampling. That enables you to test a small part of a certain group, whole group, certain group, whatever, and extrapolate, and we all know this, but I'm just saying it very plainly. And I don't hear any of that from our leaders right now. And this is, so in other words, we already know that quality tests are at a premium.
Well, okay? And did you catch the latest skinny on the antibody tests?
Yes, I did. That's why I'm bringing it up.
This will give you the fan tods. The person interviewed I heard said, "It's the Wild West out there." That was the phrase he used. It's the Wild West out there for testing.
We had this conversation.
And most of the antibody tests are junk. They're garbage.
They're junk.
They're trash. 50% false positive rate. And when you're talking about antibodies, 50% false positives means 50% of the tests yield a result that says, "Oh yeah, you've had it. You've got the antibodies. You're good to go." And they don't.
Okay. Okay, let me say this. When you're running an experiment, or when you are a worker, and I have that under my belt. That's all I'm saying. And that's all I'm going to say about it. I'm going to move on, and I'm going to say this. It's interesting. The scientific method is great because it encompasses a lot, and it adheres to standards. And that's what and once you have a standard, then you can take a true measure. Even if it's a bad measure, at least you have a measure, and you can get better beyond that. But you must have a standard. We do not have a standard now. A standard means, is the test, first of all, valid, and then is it reliable? So validity simply means, and it took me a long time to learn this, because, you know, experimental design, when you're doing drugs, all this hinges around those two things at first. So validity means, is this test measuring what I intended to measure? And that, it sounds simple, but that is a hard hurdle to cross, because you might get all this other stuff, this noise around what you're measuring. So it takes a lot. You have to do a scattergram. You have to see, okay, this is measuring what I intended to measure. So if you pass that hurdle, great, check the box. Then you move to reliability. That means, is it testing what we discerned what was a valid test? Is it doing this 95% or better of the time? That's the, you know, you have to have that.
Because that's when because that's when you get to a statistical level of relevance and confidence.
Right. Am I being succinct here? I'm being as simple.
No, you're
as
on. You're on it.
And I don't like sometimes when people think I'm stupid or whatever.
Nobody thinks you're stupid. Quit it.
I'm just stop. I'm off the clock when I talk to you, but I understand. It's like it upsets me, man. It's a lot of shit that's going on that's shady as hell. How is it we didn't just adopt? I mean, it's people think. Put your thinking caps on. Why did we not immediately adopt what South Korea had? We saw what they did. We saw what China did. I remember seeing this shit on the news. They were spraying. They had these. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was steam or chemicals or what. But they were spraying down everywhere in Wuhan. They were out there with these atomizers spraying shit down. And everybody had masks on. Everyone had masks on. And that was just, I mean, come on. I mean, I know me. I'm different. I'm a news junkie. I can't help it. But, you know, I know that happened for a fact. But back to science. You know, let's go back to science for a minute. So these hurdles are hard to cross. And then, okay, so to have a couple of tests, and it looked like to me this motherfucker, this administration is holding out to see who's going to pay them.
Precisely.
You know,
you got on board the train and you let it get on down the tracks, and then you saw where we were going. The reason we didn't test like South Korea is because these grifty motherfuckers couldn't figure out a way to wet their beaks in it.
This is so obvious. If I can see this, I'm telling you. I mean, come on. This is so obvious if you know how this, that, you know, that other side works. I don't want to say it like that, but it's unsettling. It's unsettling. They're playing
It's like something James in Illinois just sent in. Subject line: pro athletes. I keep hearing about pro athletes being tested multiple times. Same with Pence and Putz, but no one else can be tested. Ball players are moneymakers, and I'm not talking about their own money. They are property.
Right. Protect your property. And see, that's the other thing. We don't even know, because this is a new virus to most human beings, we don't even know that you get immunity from being exposed. And since we talked last time, I have a very good friend who's a professor in public health policy over at, you know, the big place, the biggest place in the state in terms of being a university. And so we had a long discussion, and I was spouting off, and she corrected me on some things. And she said, some people, and it makes sense, you know, because I made a statement, well, you know, if you don't get it, you're going to be a carrier. And that there's a percentage of people who are just not going to do anything. And if you think about it, everyone doesn't get herpes. A lot of people get cold sores, and you can kiss somebody who has a cold sore, but you might not get it. And that's a virus also. But most people, you know, it is most people, either you're going to get it or you're going to be a carrier. This is why we have to social distance until we may just have to evolve with this thing. That's the fucked up part. There's not much we can do.
It may prove to be such an unsuccessful virus that it burns through and it goes away. That's what happens That's what happens with most coronaviruses. That's why Dr. McCauley said you never catch the same cold twice, because a coronavirus will come up, it makes everybody sick, it goes away.
Damn, man, you read my mind again. I remember when you made that statement to me last time we talked, and because you know we were growing up, they say, oh, you would be a millionaire if you could find a cure for the common cold, right?
Right.
But you can't, because it keeps changing.
And see, here's the other thing, and I've mentioned this before, but it bears repeating. We have been living on planet Earth with HIV, which is a virus. That's what the V stands for. For 35 plus years, it became an epidemic. We still don't have a vaccine. Let that sink in. 35 years and no vaccine. One of two alternatives obtain in this. One is that it is simply not susceptible to having a vaccine created, or two, we just really didn't care much about the population that was being largely impacted by the virus. So we said, fuck it. Of the two, I think I would prefer that it's just not susceptible to having a vaccine created out of it, because that is some seriously eugenic shit going on to say, you know, we're just not going to work that hard. I mean, it's those people.
You know what I remember? Because, I'm just saying, I remember this from the HIV when we were really, really, you know, they had the microscopic pictures of it, and it was explained that the outer layer, the covering, the shield, it could change. So it could change so that you couldn't, it made it really difficult to kill it, to target it, because it would change its shield. And like if you were a medieval fortress, you know, and you saw that, you know, they were using this, these vats of oily shit and burning you up, then, you know, you'd put some concrete up or whatever. Maybe that's not a good example, but anyway. I totally remember that, because I've always been, that's what led me to neuroscience. And I had a guy to say this, I was going through some of my notes today. You know what's crazy? It's amazing that we can eat almost anything and we don't die. Because everything that we do works on
you know, the smooth running of our sodium potassium pumps.
Well, not just that, but you know, we're kind of dirty animals. We got a lot of bugs in us, and the bugs are what help us. I mean, you ever seen a dog drinking out of a mud puddle and wondered why ain't that dog sick? Well, it's got a lot of flora in its gut tract that takes care of that nasty shit.
And, well, that's the good stuff.
Right. I mean, that's why we eat our yogurt. That's why we drink our buttermilk. Because we want those things down there. And for instance, if you're on antibiotics, after you're done with them, you need to get back after the yogurt and the buttermilk and get those bugs back down in there. Because they're good and good for you. By the way, I just had a lovely photo come in from our dear friend Jude in the Great Northwest. She sent me a beautiful photo of the rosemary bushes in her out in her garden outside up there in Washington. She sent it along specifically for you. She said, "Of one of my two fully fragrant rosemaries with blooming lavender petals. Delicious in many of my dishes."
I see.
Those spiky little leaves, and yeah, man, when you take it right off the bush and you just kind of crush them a little bit, the oils just boom.
Bob, I'm going to tell you, those are interesting plants, and I give them to friends. But it takes a while. They're finicky. You think they're about to die, then they finally take off. They finally take you, but you have to really be nice to them. And it might take a year, you know, for them to really, really dig in. But it's worth it. When you always have that, and you know, like, you know how we make our dry rubs from scratch.
Sure.
And that's,
yeah,
you know, one of the ingredients. Well, you know, you have such a wonderful program. And,
well, you got it. You just got a note from Lady B.
Mm-hmm.
She says, "Todd, I understand your fears. This is all a big clusterfuck, and it is hard to believe that there isn't some type of conspiracy behind all of this. But I'm going to quietly burst your bubble. There is no conspiracy behind this. There's no logic, no plan of action, nothing. This is what happens when we let incompetence rise to the top. This is what happens when we think our leaders should be as friendly as the barbecue guy down the street, or if a woman as beautiful and pretty as the actresses that play them on TV. There's no plan to this at all. It happened the way it happened, purely by coincidence. A lot of people are going to walk away with a lot of money. The rest of us are going to be lucky to walk away with our lives. This is Trump's America. This is what happens when you take your Democratic Republic for granted. I mean, really, why would somebody want to kill their own fellow Americans? Well, a psychopath would." That's me adding editorially. It is incompetence. I would suggest, Lady B, coupled with avarice. Because it was awful, they knew it was going to be bad, and the first thing that came into their sick fucking minds was, "Hey, I bet we could make some money off of it." There are even clips of Donald Trump back in his civilian life being interviewed on camera, and he says, "In times of great crisis, there are opportunities to make great fortunes."
Oh, God.
It's on a documentary somewhere. I can't remember which one it is. Agnes knows. But she's the one that showed it to me. And you know, it's not doctored. It's not phony or anything. It's real. And it's all, you know, it's all about the money. And so now he's out there, and he's got Mike Pompeo. You know, he graduated first in his class at West Point. He's got Mike Pompeo doubling down on allegations that this is an experiment gone bad, or a bioweapon or something that came out of a viral lab in China. Not a shred of goddamned evidence to support it. And so what do I turn the TV on this morning and find? I watched Moaning Mika sitting there, delivering an encyclopedic compendium of the Tara Reid story. Jesus Christ.
She needs to take a bath. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That, I'm sorry.
I mean, at least she sounds like she's got her voice back. Last week she had sounded like she had the Rona.
Wait, they had the stretcher on behind. You didn't see the stretcher behind the camera. That they had that sucker up. It was ready. Come on, man. Everybody, she sounded like that. You know, come on, man. Damn. I mean, all right. Do they have?
I mean, and the thing is, here's what she didn't mention. For instance, what I'm about to read is a list of the people that Tara Reid has accused of sexual assault or harassment.
Oh, shit.
Her father, Robert Moulton. Her ex-husband, Tate. A former employer, Crystal Rojas. A YWCA supervisor. A former business partner, Frankie Knight. And Joe Biden. She has either gone to court with or publicly accused every one of those individuals. So, go figure.
I'm sorry. Look, I am not...
Here's where it gets even weirder. The story that she tells about what Joe Biden did to her...
Yeah.
Her late father, Robert Moulton, wrote a novel in 1998. In that novel, called Loss... There's a scene that her father wrote into it. It's kind of a creepy, gross novel, but it contains the following language. After several weeks of flirting with him, she spent the night in his room on Bleecker Street next to the Russian strip joint. And goes from there. And it is stunningly similar to the allegations she's made against Biden.
Well, that's interesting.
She's finally getting vetted. The only person who really gave her oxygen was this horrible Katie Halper person, who apparently didn't vet her, just ran with it, and has been known to show up on some fairly sketchy programs to talk about. Well, here, let me see if I can get the audio going. This is her being interviewed by George Galloway on Russia Today. Katie Halper. Okay, this is Katie Halper. This is the woman who got Tara, who gave Tara Reid, you know, that got it going.
It's disgusting seeing how the press does the PR work of the campaign. I mean, I've known this and you know this, but I've never, and I seem so naive, but every day it's a new level of brazen shamelessness with which the media just serves as the PR arm for the Biden campaign. I mean, it's unbelievable. And there's all this victim blaming and rape shaming. And all of a sudden, I thought Democrats were the ones who were sensitive about trauma, sexual assault, guilt, and understanding people didn't tell everything at the same time. But all of a sudden, they are talking about Tara Reid the way the right wing talked about Christine Blasey Ford. It's just...
No, not really. What is happening is she's finally being vetted the way Christine Blasey Ford was vetted. Christine Blasey Ford came away credible. Tara Reid doesn't. Let's check in with the social media of Katie Halper. This would be October the 11th, 2012 at 10:24 p.m. Katie Halper tweeted, I'm just going to say it. If I didn't respect Dr. Jilly Biden so much, I would totally have sex with Joe Biden.
What, Bob?
On July the 17th, 2014 at 11:09 a.m., she tweeted, I don't think there will ever be enough security to keep me from humping Joe Biden's leg. Hashtag NetRootsNation14. Hashtag added to the watch list.
So, okay. This is a lesson. Now, look. There are
people have motives. You know, most women who come forward, they most likely have been assaulted, most. But there are women, there are people, not just women, not just women.
There are people who have, look, and in this case, in a situation in which the incumbent president of the United States has more than 20 credible accusations of sexual assault, sexual abuse, sexual battery, child sexual assault, then what they're trying to do is neutralize that because he has never addressed any of them with any substance, whereas, you know, Biden has said it simply did not happen. He has addressed
it. You know, Bob.
And the fact of the matter is, they're making all this noise, Todd, about how, oh, we got to read the archives in the University of Delaware, Joe Biden archives. Well, they can read them till hell freezes over. She filed her grievance, if she filed one at all, with the personnel department in the Senate. And the rules of the Senate at that time said that there would have to have been an investigation. There was no such investigation. And it's not like this was happening at a time when this was unheard of.
Well, there you go.
Her credibility is simply trash.
Well, you see, you started at the top. And there's a lot of layers to this, if you understand what these types of allegations are about. Number one, okay, fine, this woman said she was assaulted 27 years ago. Let's just look at the big picture first, and then we can drill down to the minutia that just totally blows all this bullshit out of the water. Okay, Joe Biden, this is his second or third time running for president, number one. So where is this coming from?
And that's
now?
The other thing that came out over the weekend. The Obama campaign talking about when it became clear that he was going to be a front runner for the vice presidency. What was pointed out is Joe and Barack were not exactly drinking buddies or golfing buddies. They barely knew each other. So,
in fact, Joe Biden made the clean Negro. I don't know. He had some kind of comment where, like, well, he's an articulate Negro. I don't know. Some shit, you know. Same old, same old.
Yeah, open mouth, insert foot. So they put a lawyer by the name of Jeffress in charge of the vetting, and they ran a fine-tooth comb through Joe Biden's entire life. And if anything like this had even remotely come up, even a hint, even a whiff, he would not have been tapped to be the running mate. Vetted not once, but twice.
All right, let's go to the extreme other end. Wherever this alleged incident took place, you know, the municipality, with hamlet, village, whatever, they have a DA, they have a prosecutor, a solicitor. Those are the people who are in charge of bringing a case to trial, and they don't like to bring cases to trial. I mean, I'm not, obviously, you know, here we go. I'm not a lawyer, but I'm just saying they don't like to do that shit. They don't like to bring a case that they can't win.
Oh, it gets even more interesting. She has Tara Reid had a penchant for posting pro-Putin tweets.
Oh, please.
She's been all over the place. I'm not going to say that, but whatever happened, I mean, you know, if she filed those charges against all those people, including her own father, and people that she worked for, worked with, men, a woman.
Oh, well, you know, no, I'm
she's
sorry.
Got, she's just, she's better. Got, she's got horrible luck.
No, I'm sorry. I should know this. No, she has baggage. She has issues. It sounds like she was abused, and, you know, a lot of abused women, this is what happened.
But the problem here is that there is a process. Law enforcement investigates an allegation. Law enforcement then brings the allegation to the prosecuting attorney or the DA. And the DA investigates the investigation.
Right.
That's how it's supposed to work.
That's the process. That's
and so, I mean, there's no evidence of it. And what I'm getting at is all weekend long. I kept saying Tara Reid, Tara Reid, Tara Reid. The sparkle fart powered unicorn cavalry purity patrol. They've gotten to the point now where they draw Tara Reid like a gun. And so you've got the New York Times writing articles, and it's like, you filthy fucks. You learned nothing from but her emails. Nothing. You're doing it goddamn again. Benghazi! Again. Vince Foster! I mean, at some point in time, does this not... Would even a multimillionaire writing for the New York Times not eventually see a goddamn pattern here? Vince Foster, Whitewater, Travelgate, on and on and on and on, and they never deviate from the norm. It's always the same sleazy, shitty, filthy garbage, because they know that major media organizations can't resist it. It's fucking catnip to them. But let me run away from that for a minute, Todd, just to share something that...
Why run away?
Because that's as much space as this shit deserves. It is not legitimate. Her credibility is poop. Not because of anything, not because she's a woman or not because she's making the allegation, but because of what she herself has done to her credibility over the years. Perry fucking Mason would not be able to handle this. Melvin Belli would look at this and go, No.
Did you say Perry Mason?
Perry Mason.
Oh.
And there's going to be a new Perry. And there's going to be a new Perry Mason series. It's like the backstory. And Matthew Reese from The Americans is going to play Perry Mason. I'm kind of looking forward to it. And it's being done period, so it's not modern. It's going to be set like in the Depression and stuff. It's cool. Might be interesting. Hmm. But there's no there. But they've got to do this to neutralize, because they've got to do this to neutralize the sexual stuff with Trump, because the sexual stuff with Trump is gross as fuck, and it has been vetted, and some of it is making its way through a court system. And so whatever he's guilty of, they try to find an analog in the other side. It's his MO. It's how it works. But I wanted to share something with you that Flavio sent in, because we were talking about healthcare workers and everything. We've lost a lot of healthcare workers, doctors, nurses, orderlies, CNAs, maintenance staff. There's going to be a healthcare system that was already teetering on the brink of disaster. We could not afford to lose the people we have lost, but lost them we have.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be worse. Apparently, there's a new symptom of the Rona, because, you know, we keep hearing about the new symptoms, like the red rings under the eyes and the loss of taste and smell, and corona foot, where you get these red and blue spots on your feet, and all kinds of weird shit.
I just heard about that.
Well, there's a new symptom that has emerged in Mother Russia. Apparently, the Rona can make physicians treating it fall out of windows. In a little more than a week, three Russian doctors treating the Rona have mysteriously fallen out of windows. Two doctors are dead. One is in serious condition. Dr. Alexander Shulipov is in serious condition after falling from a building. He fell from a hospital window under mysterious circumstances, making him the third Russian doctor treating a coronavirus patient to suffer a similar fate in the past 10 days. Shulapov, 37, survived the fall from a second-floor window, but he got a fractured skull out of it. And the other two doctors are, they're dead. Ambulance paramedic Alexander Kosyakin confirmed the fall. He was hospitalized on April 22nd after testing positive for COVID-19. He was supposed to be released soon after his latest test came back negative. But Shulapov and Kosyakin made a video, and they said, "The chief doctor is forcing us to work. What do we do in this situation?" And then the next thing you know, the Rona made him fall out a window.
Damn.
47-year-old Dr. Elena Nepomniachtchaya had been on a conference call on April 25th with the regional health minister, and they were talking about taking one of the wards in her hospital and turning it into a coronavirus ward, when she mysteriously, the Rona made her fall out a window, because she was against the idea of turning one of the wards into a Rona ward. She'd also pointed out the fact that she didn't have sufficient PPE for her staff. The day before that, 48-year-old Natalia Lebedeva, who was the chief of the ambulance center in Zvyazny near Moscow, had an accident. She fell from a high window and probably killed herself after her superiors said she had infected several of her colleagues. There's worse places, I suppose.
Okay. So what type of windows does America have?
If I were Dr. Anthony Fauci, I would stay away from any of them. Stay away from windows, Doc, and stay off small aircraft.
It's a good thing he's like small in stature, so, you know, that window sill is a little lower for him, or higher, I mean. So that's a good thing.
Jesus.
Did you
see this? Did you see this interview he gave to Fox News TV Radio Rwanda at the Lincoln Memorial, no less?
No, I was indisposed.
Oh God! Should you take the question? It was a town hall, because he's absolutely bat piss crazy. See what I did there?
Yeah.
He's absolutely bat piss crazy to get back in front of the maggots. And in fact, the campaign is now hustling Make America Great Again face masks. I shit you not. Jeez. They did it on an SNL skit.
Oh, this fucker.
They did it on an it was funny. It was parody. They did it on an SNL skit, and now they're actually selling. And they're going to have, you know, everybody's going to wear a Make America Great Again mask, and he's going to go, because we got the thing with West Point. You know, he's going to put more than 1,000 cadets' lives at risk, because he's demanding that they be dragged back for a graduation.
We're going to have a really bad spike.
And he's hell bent on going out and having an event in Arizona. See what I did there, Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good.
But he's upset and he's being mistreated and he doesn't like it and get the hockey puck.
I am greeted with a hostile press, the likes of which no president has ever seen. The closest would be that gentleman right up there. They always said Lincoln. Nobody got treated worse than Lincoln. I believe I am treated worse. You're there. You see those press conferences. They come at me with questions that are disgraceful, to be honest.
They come at me with questions where they ask me why I'm lying about testing. They come at me with disgraceful questions about why people are dying from this. It's disgraceful. Disgraceful.
Disgraceful. Their manner of presentation and their words. And I feel that if I was kind to them, I'd be walked off the stage. I mean, they come at you with the most horrible, what? Horrendous, biased questions. And
you know, biased questions like, is it a virus? Why is it a virus? Do we have ventilators?
Uh-oh.
Terrible, terrible biased questions.
You see it. 94 or 95% of the press is hostile. And yet, if you look in Florida...
There needs to be a... Well, it's Fox, so they're not going to... But there needs to be a crawler or something. It's just... it's the Joe Isuzu thing. He is lying again. This is
right.
94 to 95%. No. That's just not true.
Right.
Never mind the word true.
Right.
That is not factual. It cannot be demonstrated to be in the universe of things we know as facts.
Okay. Well, so this whole charade, this whole Hitler-esque propaganda machine.
Ha ha, charade you are.
Don't get me started on that. Yes.
That was just a Pink Floyd reference for Lady B. That's all that was.
Lady B. Oh, babe. Mm. Don't get me started on Lady B.
So there's a little more of this.
Started today, we had hundreds and hundreds of boats going up and down the intercoastal. Trump. We have tremendous support.
Boats?
But the media is, they might as well be in the Democrat Party. And why, I don't know. We fixed our military. We fixed the vet. You know, if you look at the...
Yeah, fixed the military. You know, the military that he said didn't have any bullets when he came into office. Jesus Christ.
Bob, I have to say this again. I really do. Because everyone knows someone in their family or their circle who subscribes to this bullshit. And we have to explain to them that we know you're hurting. We know you wanted something different. All right. That's the only reason, because really it was going to be him or Bernie. A lot of these people would have gone for Bernie, some of them, you know, except for the Klansmen and the other folks, but the people who are halfway rational. So, you know, they have to understand that, you know, just because you feel like the press is overwhelmingly negative against the president, that is absolutely true. And you just have to say it and let it.
But you just used
the
magic word. You said feeling. They feel it. They don't know it. It is not demonstrable that the press is opposed to him. Jesus Christ, they extend his narratives for him practically every day. I mean, he could not have bought the editorial coming out of the New York Times editorial board this weekend saying that the Tara Reid horse shit deserves more study.
No, they feel it.
He's an ingrate little pissant.
But, you know, the reason that the press doesn't have a whole lot of positive things to say, because you can take your emotions out of things and just look at statements, and you can code them. You know, you get a focus group and you say, okay, these words are positive words, these are negative words, these are positive phrases, negative phrases, and they can be coded. And you can turn it into data. Right. Quantitative is the words. You turn that into quantitative, which is the numbers. And that way, once you get into numbers, you put in spreadsheets and you know, crunch the numbers. It happens every day. So my point is that just because you feel hurt, you have to be objective. If this administration, including the titular head, were doing anything positive, the press would, at some point, would cover it. But this everything
well,
is
they
based
do
on
cover it, and they
and
provide
anti-social.
Him. They do cover it, Todd, and they provide him cover for it.
Well, that's a big problem.
And yet, like problem. I said, he's an ingrate pissant, and he's doing this so that he can reinforce their whole Stockholm syndrome thing going on. Even the people who are critical of him, Todd, aren't critical of him as they should be.
No.
Confronting him in real time. I hate to even say it. The closest anybody's getting these days is Joe Scar.
Wait a minute. I don't want to get into that. Right. Let me stop the knife blade before we get into that, because I did hear that. But wait a minute. At what point, because I listen to these mugs on Washington Journal, all right, and that's a scientific term, these mugs, and it's like he just told you it was okay to inject disinfectants and bleach into your body. At what point did you not just stop and say, wait a minute, this motherfucker is crazy?
Right, and see, I got to admit, I'm waiting for the evening that he comes on and tells his followers to wash their hands with boiling water.
I'm sorry, I had to cut you off, but I was so done. I'm like, he just told you how ignorant and crazy he is, you know.
If you'll drink boiling water and do a boiling water enema, your body will set up this convection current, and the Rona will die. Could we investigate boiling water enemas and boiling water gargles? Could we do that, Deborah?
Yes, do it. Then we can get the trains out. We can identify these folks because they have these blistered hands. Then we can round them up and put them in these cars for some reason. You know, rail cars. I don't know why. But look, Scarborough, okay, today. Now, if people would follow that lead, and this is a question I've had now for some time. I've had this question for some time. All right, fine. You want the press, the for-profit media, you want to be, you know, middle of the road maybe, whatever you think you are. You don't want to be too controversial. You want to sell clicks, sell media, this and that. But to cover the mental illness of the president, that's a story that will never stop. Why not cover that? Because it is actually, they waited too long. It's endangering everyone at this point. This is not funny anymore. This shit ain't funny. Come on. Just stop. You know, it's not even about politics. This is not about politics. Our president, the president of the United States of America, is the most powerful leader in the Western world, which means the most powerful leader in the world. This instability, this clear mental illness, amongst other things, it has to stop. This is not funny. It's not cute. It doesn't, you know, do the right thing. Do the right thing. And that's what Joe Scarborough was saying. And maybe people are going to follow him after this morning. He told him to take a break, right?
Yeah. You're not well. Let Mike Pence act as president until your sanity improves. I mean, Scarborough is never going to be an FDR Democrat. But after, you know, after he went after him by bringing up Lori Klosutis, Scarborough said he's denying that a second wave is going to come in the fall, despite the fact that every doctor, every medical professional, every scientist says he could face dire consequences in the fall as well. This morning I told the president again that a good science ends up being good economics, ends up being good politics. Obviously, Donald, you didn't want to hear that again. I know I've been saying it a lot.
Yep.
And then he said, you actually tweeted something extraordinarily cruel. I know you meant it to be extraordinarily cruel to me by attacking me, by bringing up a conspiracy theory that's lived in the gutters of the internet for some time now. But just like the Seth Rich conspiracy murder that was pushed by your allies, you don't understand the pain you caused to families who have already lost a loved one. Not me, not my children, not anybody that knows me, or they know the truth. You, once again, drag a family through this and make them relive it again, just like Seth Rich's parents, as if losing loved ones on the first time isn't enough. This weekend, my God, you were supposed to have a working weekend. You got it wrong again. You said 50, 60,000. Now you said 100,000 deaths. What did you do during your working weekend? You tweeted more hateful things about colleagues of ours. You tweeted conspiracy theories about Jeffrey Epstein. Really, you have time for this? You tweeted conspiracy theories about Barack Obama. Really, you have time for this? You attacked George W. Bush for simply sending out a unifying message to give Americans hope. He said positive things about Americans. He said positive things about healthcare workers. He said positive things about this country. He said, we choose to rise. Even that offended you. I guess I shouldn't be surprised that a man who was offended by a former president calling all Americans of all parties together in this time of crisis would be offended by that. After all, you're the same president of the United States who celebrated the return of a murderous dictator, Kim Jong-un. Mr. President, I ask that you get checked out. I ask that you take a rest. I ask that you take care of yourself. Maybe let Mike Pence run things for the next week. You're not well. Mr. President, you're getting worse every day. You need to take a rest. You need to let Mike Pence actually run things for the next couple of weeks. Come back when you're feeling a little better and when you can really actually focus on your job. You just can't do that right now. Americans are dying every day because of it. I mean, I give him credit for saying it, Todd. I've been, God knows, saying it for 2 years, 3 years. But at least he's finally caught up. But he isn't well. And what he needs to do, if he's serious about what he's saying there, he needs to do the kind of work that we've done here, and that is to lay out the process of the 25th Amendment, Section 4, bit by bit, piece by piece, detail by detail, and then stop talking to Trump. Start talking to Pence. Either you love this country, or you're going to let him stay president. The two things are mutually exclusive. They cannot exist in the same universe.
Do you know that paperwork can be compartmentalized right now? You give people a piece of it, show them where the sources are, draft it up.
Leave that out. When you look at Section 4,
that committee together.
Well, they teach. No, well, that can't happen. It's going to have to happen through the vice president's office. But what they in law school, they teach you how to take apart a statute piece by piece,
mm-hmm.
and element by element, and work it from there. And it can be done. And the evidence is there to support it. I mean, the man just said in the last 2 days that he's being treated worse than Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln got shot in the back of the head.
Right. So that's not a good analogy. No.
But he said it. That's not the first time he said that.
No, but that's the way he feels.
Yeah, all this feeling.
See,
Jude in the Northwest says they feel it, anxiety. Hey, Bob and Todd, it appears they house an intense negative level of free-floating anxiety, the most consuming, non-productive, isolating place one can be engulfed in. I'm breathing, cleansing, breathing here in the Pacific Northwest. Be well. You be well as well.
Yeah.
Stay safe, Jude. But she's right. The maggots are lost in their perpetual outrage. And they are being manipulated by a perpetual outrage machine. No, they would not be happy until and unless Donald Trump declares himself to be the maximum president for life. Then they'd be happy. They think.
Okay, so here's a for real instance. I'm not going to say the man's last name. Just because out of respect. This guy has been calling in to Washington Journal for 30 years. His name is Joe from Ella J. Georgia. And he said, this is the best president I ever had. Everybody around here loves him good, and the stock market's doing good. And I'll tell you what, that's the best president we ever had. And this mug, he calls clockwork. Every 30 days, he gets his call in. And we have to understand that
you know, America is not as liberal and open-minded as we would like to think. We are very, very conservative.
Well, we like some liberal notions. We like some FDR Democrat stuff. But a large enough plurality in this country, Todd, is daily tormented by the outrage machine. Steve from Georgistan just wrote in, subject line, Washington Journal. The first hour of Friday's show, they talked about nothing but the ridiculous Tara Reid nonsense. All the callers were right-wing tools or either trolls calling on the Democratic line. Pedro was juiced, man. It was as if he was on speed. I've never seen him this amped or excited to cover a topic. Washington Journal is not to be considered a neutral news source. Check the archive and hear it for yourself if you can stomach it. I'm going to take a powder on that because I'm trying not to add stress to my life. Going through and pulling a show together every day with all the swill that I have to wade through to do it is enough.
Pedro was seen in Southeast D.C. on Central Avenue acquiring heroin and crack cocaine. It's unfortunate for the C-SPAN anchor.
She said Pedro. She called everybody Pedro.
Yo, if you've never been on set, if you've never been on that strip, man, right on the Anacostia River, man. It's
I've
just
been
like
there.
Right below. You know, and it's, man, you know, right at the street is Frederick Douglass's house. It's like, oh, this is beautiful. And then, well, it's the strip.
Jesus.
Oh, man. All right. Well, look.
Yeah, time to get out of here. It's been a great conversation. One of these days, I'm going to have enough warm weather to actually do some cooking, and I'll be thinking of you when I do.
All right, Blackstone.
That's me.
All right, Bob. Thanks a lot.
Bob Blackstone Kincaid. That's good. Todd, you take care.
All right.
Later now. Bye. And so we find ourselves at the close of the program this Moran Monday. I promised you we had a bunch of Morans, and I feel like I came through. We will close the program with $54 to go to finish fundraising for the evening. Thanks to everybody who keeps the program on the air with your kind contributions, your gifts, because, well, you know, we don't have anything to sell, but thank you. Whether you're a subscriber at PayPal or at Patreon or a la carte or one or all three or some combination, thank you. You're why this conversation continues, and I can never thank you enough. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. By the way, Sparky sent along the story, FBI seizes 4 pipe bombs from home of Colorado anti-lockdown protester. When I mentioned the location, Rusty wrote in and said, "Yep, doesn't surprise me. Apparently, it's a hotbed of wing nuttery." No, thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thanks to our all volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Dr. Bill was awesome today. Make sure you take his podcast, also available at White Rose and on headon.live and at Podbean. He'll be back again tomorrow. It's good to have Dr. Bill back in the swing of things. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Stay safe. Stay home. Avoid maggots like the plague, because they are. And we'll be back for Trump Tanic Tuesday tomorrow. Later.